Part 6, Chapter 3. It had been a good hunt, and Johnny was going back to the compound. That morning he had looked with sorrow at the dejected bearing of the two girls. What little they could do to clean up their squalid cage, they had done. They had tried to put on bright faces when he talked to them through the two barricades. Patty had come out of it a bit more, but she hadn't laughed when he told her she would marry the King of the Mountains. It was an old personal joke. She had suddenly burst into tears, and Chrissy, trying to comfort her, had begun to cry too. Something had to cheer them up, or at least keep them busy, Johnny thought. He got the horses, and with Windsplitter stepping out, had ridden away from the compound. Dancer and the third horse, named Old Pork, after his habit of grunting, trailed behind. Blodgett was better, but it would be some time before the wounded horse could run. Johnny was looking for deer. With venison to smoke and a hide to tan and strip, the girls would get their minds off their worries. Some of his own guilt and bitterness dimmed as he raced across the plain, Windsplitter eager, the other two pounding along behind. The wind had wiped some of his pessimism away. The illusion of freedom stimulated him. Perhaps there was hope. He had done better than one deer. He had come hammering into an arroyo and found himself within feet of antelope. And shortly after, one cleaned antelope was on the back of Old Pork. Not a half hour later, he had gotten his deer, a young buck. With both pack horses laden and trailing behind him, he was looking for kinnikinnick, a wild plant that gave good flavor to venison. It was really too early for the berries to form, but the leaves were good. His attention was drawn to a humming sound far behind him. He halted, examining the sky. There it was, a tiny dot getting bigger. It was heading either toward him or toward the compound. The horses had gotten used to machinery sounds, and there was not much to choose at the moment between the buzz overhead and the mutter of noise in the compound not 3 miles ahead of them. Johnny's curiosity turned to a feeling of unrest. Where was that object going? It was very low, not traveling very fast now. Suddenly he knew it was heading for him. There had been a row of planes in a field near the compound, 20 of them that Turl had ferried in and left in the open. This was one of them. It was about 100 feet up, almost stopped. The roar was making the horses nervous. Johnny kicked Windsplitter ahead and started straight for the compound. The plane drew off, turned, and then with a shattering burst of speed, dove on him. The earth before the horses erupted in explosions of dirt. Windsplitter reared and tried to spin away. Clods battered the horses. Johnny's ears ached with the explosions. He turned the horses in another direction, to the right. The earth erupted in a long line in front of him. Windsplitter began to plunge in terror. One of the pack horses broke loose. Johnny wheeled and began to race to the north. In front of him, the ground again erupted. He tried to get his horse to go through the hanging curtain of dust. Windsplitter turned and tried to run away to the south. This time, the plane plunged down and settled across their path. Terrified, Windsplitter reared. Johnny got him under control. Turl was sitting in the open door of the plane, laughing. He roared, moving back and forth, pounding his chest to get his breath. With considerable trouble, Johnny got the two pack horses together. He dismounted to straighten their packed meat.
You look so funny,
gasped Turl, straightening his face mask. The horses were rolling their eyes, trembling. But Johnny's eyes were not rolling. Had they been blast guns, Turl would have been dead.
I just wanted to show you how easy it is to stop you if you ever got out of hand. Just one of those gun blasts aimed at you and not in front of you, would have made you a pale pink mist!
Johnny had tied the pack horse lead ropes to Windsplitter's neck. He stood there, soothing Windsplitter with a stroking hand.
I'm celebrating. Send those horses back to the compound and get in.
I don't have an air mask,
said Johnny.
And that interior will be breathe gas.
I brought your air mask,
said Turl, reaching inside and holding it up.
Get in!
Johnny had Windsplitter calm now. He took hold of the horse's ear.
Go to Chrissy,
he said. Windsplitter cast a glance at the plane and then, glad enough, started off toward the compound, pulling the pack horses with him. Yes, Turl told himself. The animal did have a language with other animals. Johnny put on the air mask and pulled himself up into the plane.